Real quick, guys, just before I forget, so they're up here. If you want to take any of these are the posters for the movie, okay? And then, please, do you notice that people at work, whenever you give them a pen, then the pen goes away? Anybody else like that? Okay. So I always keep my favorite pen to the side and never let anybody use it. Is that how you are? Anyway, take a handful of these pens, stick them at your house, at your work, and just leave those out. That would be fantastic. And that's what they're there for. We don't want to find them in a box here in 3 or 4 years and be like, look at all these pens. So you guys help us share them out, okay? All right, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. A very, very familiar passage, but maybe one of the most encouraging passages to me in God's Word. I hope it'll be encouragement to you today. Normally, when I look at this passage, I look at it through the lens of my own eyes and my experiences. Do you guys know what I'm talking about there? Like sometimes when you read Scripture, hopefully most of the time when you read Scripture, you're reading it in a way that you're thinking, how does this apply to me? How can I live it out? That kind of thing. I'm going to have you kind of tilt your perspective a little bit today, okay? We had a little fun on Friday night. We were in teams of three, and we went outside the church, and I basically said, I want you to act like you're coming to this church for the very first time, like you've never been here before. And so we all kind of paused a little bit. It was amazing how many things that we saw that we don't ever see because we actually paid attention when we came in, you know? It's kind of like in your house. There's certain things that after a while you just ignore and you don't even know there. And then when people come in, you know, like the Febreze commercials where some of us have those smells that we get nose blind to, right? Sometimes in church we get that way too about the way things are set up. And so today, the same way, you could normally read the Scripture, and if you just read it like as what it is, as for what it is, you'll be blessed and you'll be encouraged and you'll be like, I can take heart, I can go forward, and I want you to do that, okay? But today, here's what I really want you to do. I want you to look at this through the eyes of someone who is suffering for their faith. Can you bear with me with that just a little bit? Okay. Again, you guys, we had a little over a year ago, we had Sindhu, Pani, and Minnie Pani here at our church. And Sindhu and Minnie lived in a place in India when persecution was intense. And I've shared this many times, but Minita was beaten while she was pregnant for her faith. We got a letter before from them where there was a man who was preaching the gospel in one of the towns, and they shaved half of his head and they put him on a donkey and they paraded him through town because he was a preacher of the gospel, and they didn't want him to do that again. We don't know that, do we? We don't have those fears. We don't even really see that or think about that. And that's the whole reason we've been handing out these flyers for the last 4 weeks now, and the reason we're going to have a whole day of prayer next Sunday to focus on that. Is because there are people right now today, and actually I think it was either 2014 or 2015, there was more people like persecuted in that year than like the whole past century. Persecution is very intense in certain parts of the world today, and we're kind of sometimes, we're distant from it, all right? So today, pretend that you are a person in North Korea, and if you stand up for your faith, it could be the end of your life or your job. Or maybe you're a Christian in Afghanistan, and when you go get baptized, that means that no longer do you have a mother or a father or a brother or a sister, that you are kicked out and you are all on your own. Or maybe that you're in a district in India, and that if you speak out your faith, that you will be shamed and humiliated, and you probably feel pretty alone. Everybody kind of following with me now, okay? Now read this scripture this morning that we look at through that lens. Pretend you're that person, and then ask the Lord to help you pray for people like that today. And if you do that, you have so achieved the purpose of what we're here for today, what the message is about today. Let's look together. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Again, I hope you'll be encouraged as you see this. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken." And that's what I want you to take with you today. "We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. that the life also of Jesus might be manifest or made known in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, so then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at this in verse 17. This is just amazing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Be encouraged today. Again, I know this is a very familiar passage, and we've already been through this passage a couple times here at our church. But I want you to look through that lens this morning from someone who is being persecuted. And how would this passage be an encouragement to them? And how can you and I be an encouragement to them? First thing I want you to see this morning is it's about the treasure and not the jar, right? A lot of jars here today. Some of the jars are better looking than others. Some of the jars are more in shape than others. Some of the jars have wrinkles. Some of the jars, the hearing's not working as well or the eyesight is not working as well, right? A lot of different jars here today. But what I want you to think about this morning is it's not about the jar, it's about the treasure. And there's a lot of treasure in this room today, which is pretty exciting to me. There's a lot of treasure here. Let the Lord speak to your heart on this. Look again at verse 7. And so Paul writes, he says to the Corinthians, he says, but we have this treasure of the gospel, we have it in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, and not from us. And Paul's trying to make that point to his believers. There are some things that I could do, and I could do them within my limits. And then what would happen is I would try to take credit for those things. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. So, for example, in my younger days, I guess you'd call it in my prime, on my very best day, I could take a flat basketball. This is how bad it is, okay? I take a flat basketball, and I could just barely get over the rim and dunk it, right? And I was pretty proud just to do that, okay? I could brag on my ability because that's in my limitation. But if I were to go up off of 2 feet and do a 360 windmill double-handed gorilla dunk, that would be all God and not me. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you would know that there was something else going in on that guy. He either had, you know, steroids or something. There had to be something else energizing him for him to do that. Okay? The same way in our church, there's some things that we can do within our own power. And what happens is when we do those things, a lot of times we take the credit. But I'm going to tell you, we're in a really awesome spot right here, right now. Because the Lord can do some really incredible things, and who's going to get the glory for them? He is, because it could only happen if he does it, all right? So that's the point I want you to see first this morning. It's not about the jars. It's about the treasure. Now, if you think about Paul and Silas and Luke, they had been through so much. They had been beaten. They had been shipwrecked. They had been left for dead and stoned. They'd been in jail. I mean, they lived in some of the worst conditions. And here he is trying to encourage other believers to take heart. If you even look back earlier in this chapter, you'll see that same thing coming out. Take heart. How in the world did they keep moving forward when everything else told them to step back? And what did it for them was the treasure, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus in their hearts. And here's what I want to ask you today. Do you view it as a treasure? Do you view your forgiveness and your redemption as a treasure? Again, just to kind of relate some things we were doing the other night, okay? We began to speak about expectation. A lot of times for church on Sunday, we just show up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? Come on, be honest, right? It's part of your routine, right? I get up at 6:30, I finish a few things, I maybe have a little breakfast, take my shower, brush my teeth, shave, put my clothes on, get in the car, and it's time for Sunday school, I do that, it's time for worship, I do that, and then I can't wait to see where we're going to go for lunch, right? Routine, routine, routine. And so we began to talk about, well, why don't we have more expectation? And maybe that's because there's some things we need to put in our routine. For example, how many of you prayed for God, don't raise your hands or anything, but how many of you prayed for God to act and move and to bring people into this service today? And I know some of you did, and you're feeling pretty good today, aren't you, right? Some of you, you prayed that way, looking forward to today, and all of a sudden, your whole attitude is better. Some of you actually decided, hey, I love the World Series, and the Cubs are just going to lose again anyway, so I'm going to go to bed. It's going to be up till Eastern time, be up till midnight, right? But I'm going to get my rest so that I can come ready to receive from the Lord, and that's an attitude of expectation. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And we began to talk about this, and Isaiah's been through some of the coaching stuff at school where they try to pep up and they try to get the guys ready for the football games. You know what I'm talking about? And so I began to relate it to this way. Have you guys ever seen, like, football players and basketball players especially, when they get off of the plane or they get off the bus and they're getting ready for the game, do you know what they're usually doing? A lot of times they have headphones in their ears and they're trying to block everything out so they can focus for what they're about to do. Now, if those guys are going to go to all that trouble to focus on a football game or a basketball game, how much more should we focus on receiving the treasure that the Lord has delivered us, right? And I want to encourage you to put your headphones in and get pumped up and get ready to come to meet with the Lord when we come together. And your experience will be so much better when you come expecting and you come prepared. And again, I just encourage you today that the treasure you have within you is so much more than any material treasure that is without, okay? That glorious gospel, God's message of redemption, the change that he's made in us is so much more. Again, we are jars of clay. That means that in some ways we are inadequate and imperfect, but you guys know how that works. Sometimes the Lord breaks the jar to shine the light, right? And it's no fun to see the jar breaking sometimes, but boy, when the light comes out, what does it do? It pierces the darkness, and it brings light and hope to so many, okay? So today, you might be feeling like a little like a jar of clay that's got a couple cracks and maybe a little hole in the side. That's okay. The Lord's going to use that to let his light shine out of you, that let that treasure out. Again, love how the word is here. It is his all-surpassing power, that the excellency of the power, that the all-surpassing power, it would be shown that it's of God and it's not of us. That's what we desire here, absolutely, that it would be to God's name, to his credit for what happens. So today, don't be troubled that you are clay. Does anything remind you of your clayness? Man, I got reminded a lot this weekend. It's like, oh, there's so many things that I wish I could do, and I cannot do it all. I want to do so many things. Even in your lives, I would love to be a part of every one of your lives like 3 or 4 days this week. And you're like, oh, boy, thank goodness that Travis can't do that. But I would love to know you and chat with you and talk with you. I would love to sit down with you every night and hear, how did it go today? How can I pray for you? How can I lift you up? But I can't do all that because I'm clay. But the Lord can use what we give him through his power for his glory. Again, don't you realize right now that God is working in and through us. And here's what I want to challenge you with now this morning. As you think about those people that are in those places, I want to challenge you that the only treasure is not in America. Can you bear with me a little bit today in that? We're the American church. We're the rich church. If anything is going to get done in the world, it's going to be funded by the American church, and they're going to go in with their money and all their influence and all. We're Americans. We're going to go in and we're going to conquer in God's name, but it's because we're Americans we're going to make it happen. Well, let me tell you something. The church is flourishing in parts of the world without any help from the American church. Praise the Lord that it's working, right? Because the Lord doesn't need American money to make his name great. He could use it to make his name great, but he doesn't need it, does he? Matter of fact, we've only been around a couple hundred years. Sometimes you would think that we think we've been around since the day one of creation, right? Again today, as you think about praying for those other jars of clay, recognize that God can use people wherever for his glorious name, and pray that he will work through them, okay? Jars of clay, there's treasure inside. Again, it's not about the jar, it's about the treasure. All right, let's be encouraged this morning. Look on, if you would, with me in verse 8. We see here the power to press on, to move on. Paul writes, and he tells the Corinthian church, he says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Now look with me this morning. I want you to think about this again. Put your eyes, your glasses on, and you're looking through the perspective of someone who is suffering, someone who is maybe losing family or friends because they're a Christian. And this is some of the things that they're dealing with. First off, what was it? Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side. What if it cost you your job that because you're a Christian? And not only that, you couldn't get a good job because you're a Christian. Say that you're allowed to even keep your family. Well, then does that add any stress to your life? Do you know what some believers are experiencing even this morning? Well, now that I've confessed Christ and I love him and he's changed my heart inside out, but in my community, I'm an outcast and there's no way that I can get a job. I can't provide for my family like I was doing. What am I going to do? That changes your perspective a little bit about those words, doesn't it? I want to encourage you today, think about from that perspective. And here's what Paul said. Hey, we've been through that. We've been there. There's been towns I got kicked out of. There's been places I couldn't make tents. They wouldn't let me. He said, even though we have been hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. In other words, we can still get up in the Lord's power. And so here's how I want you to encourage and think about this way, that there are people who have been through persecution, and yet they were sustained by the Lord's power. Today, if you have anyone that you know, or if you have one of your countries you want to pray about, even as we're going through the message, pray that persecuted believers could know in their heart that they will not be crushed even though they're hard-pressed. Because they need to know that today, don't they? I would want to know that if I was going through that. Look at the next thing. He says, perplexed. Perplexed. What's that mean? Anybody been perplexed today? Can everybody give me your confused look this morning? Oh, that's what you always do. I know. Right? Perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? You're like, what? I don't. You ever been perplexed because of things that are happening in your life? Be real practical here, okay? This is, again, a very small scale, but like, hey, Lord, we are giving ourselves and our heart to you, and we're still struggling. I don't understand. That's confusing, isn't it? I've given you what you asked me to give. I'm trying to be obedient, and yet things have not changed or not going the way I like. What's going on with that? That's perplexing. Now think about, again, through your perspective as someone that is going through persecution. And this is why prosperity gospel is flat out evil and completely wrong, right? Go talk to people who are suffering for their faith about the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel invades a nation and a country, and it says, if you love Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have better stuff. You're going to have better marriage. You're going to have more money. You're going to have more friends. You're going to have more kids. You're going to have a better life. And the persecuted church says, this is not happening. That can be really confusing, right? Well, first off, you have to recognize that that is like false gospel, and that's part of that problem. But sometimes what I want you to think about today is how confusing would it be to be loving God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength, and then facing opposition and mocking and scoffing for your faith? That might be perplexing, right? What does Paul say about this? I love how he words it. We were perplexed, but we were not in despair. What is despair? Right, I give up. I throw up my hands. I'm tired. I'm done with it. Okay? I bet you there's been a few times that some missionaries have been pretty close to that. Right? Even today. And it's been really interesting. On Wednesday nights, we've been seeing where our Japanese missionary friends, that even some that Isaiah got to stay with, I think over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've seen 2 or 3 people come to Christ. And what I want to tell you is that in Japan, Japan is less than 1% Christian. Less than 1%. And it's been hundreds of years that it's been stiff-necked and hard, and people have been resistant to the gospel. And I'm sure there's been missionaries over there who have been like, I can't do this anymore. If you guys were privileged with us to be on a Wednesday night where we got to listen to Carlisle Hanna, who was a missionary, who is a missionary to India, he told of a good friend that early on, if you remember, Carlisle and his wife, they actually lost a child in India. And it was hard, and they weren't seeing things well. And his other friend actually went back, and he said, I've got to go back home. He said, these are not my people. And Carlisle said, whoa, wait a minute. If you're a Christian preacher of the gospel, then anyone who needs the gospel and receives the gospel, that's your people, right? But there was another missionary there who was in despair and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going home. Now look what Paul says. He says, we're perplexed. I want to encourage you today, if you're a little perplexed today about where you're at, like, I don't know why I'm in this situation, I don't know why I'm in this location, I don't know why I'm in this financial situation, I don't know why I'm in this health or medical issue, I don't know why I'm here. They were perplexed too, so be right at home in that. Christians are going to be perplexed sometimes. You don't have to have all the answers all the time. God never said that. Paul didn't have that. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Why is that? Isn't that good? We already know the outcome of it all. He's going to say here in just a minute that we know that if God raised Jesus from the dead, he can raise us from the dead. We know what's in store. So yeah, it's confusing sometimes, but we're not giving up because we know what's coming down the pipe. Right? Now again, think about your brothers and sisters today who maybe their dad got put in jail for his faith, or their mom has been made a laughingstock in her community for her faith. That can be confusing, and that can be close to despair sometimes, right? But you can pray right here, right now. You can pray this week that God's Spirit would invade their hearts and remind them that what they're doing is so worth it, and that they don't have to be in despair. Amen? Yeah, even today, let that be your heart cry. Then Paul says next, he says, persecuted but not abandoned. Again, physically afflicted or punished for our faith. I this is so foreign to me, and when I hear things like that we've talked about this morning, it just breaks my heart. And I almost feel bad even in my own mind, like I don't even know that in here. Do you know what I'm saying? I can tell you the story, and I can hear the story, and I understand it in my head, but it's one thing to hear that somebody's being beaten for their faith. It's another thing to be beaten for your faith, right? Paul says we've been beaten. Paul himself, he'll lay it out in Corinthians as well, that he was beaten 39 times, 40 minus 1, 3 times he had that done to him. At least as far as I know, nobody in here has been through that, right? Paul, one time, they went and they took up stones and they stoned him, and they thought they had finished job, so they left him there dead in the street. But he actually wasn't dead. But he was so close to death that they thought he was gone, so they left him alone. Anybody here been through that? Anybody here had to be in a dungeon with all the stink and the smell and nobody taking baths for months and all of the disgusting waste that's running through that place because you said, I'm a Christian and I'm going to preach Jesus? I've been there, right? Paul had been there, and what did he say? He said, we're persecuted, but what did he say? But we're not abandoned. We are not alone, okay? Persecuted but not abandoned. Here's where we need to be today. And everybody in here, we've got to do better at this. You've got to help your preacher with this. We've got to help one another with this. We have got to make sure that our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution know that they are not alone. Is that right? You guys, it's amazing what I can go through if I don't have to be by myself. Anybody else been there? Just to be real honest, this is probably too mushy, more than I should be, but I just like going walking through Target with my wife, or even Walmart, because I don't like doing that stuff alone. But when I can be with her, it's like, okay. And that's not by any means, it could be persecution to some people, they may consider it that. I don't think so, but just to not be alone, right? How about with your faith? At work, there's been a time or two when I would try to be a witness and then realize that there are actually other lights in jar clays, in cubicles around me. What does that do for my faith? You guys, last Saturday, I think I shared a little bit of this with you last Sunday, but there was a story, you remember, of Larry and his coworker. They had been working together for years, never saw each other face to face. And the normal greeting to other people was, how was your weekend? And they would say, oh, well, church was great. And all of a sudden it would shut down. And then the one time that Larry talked to Connie over the phone, how was your weekend? Well, church was great. My church was great too. And guess what happened to both of them? Their spirits ignited and they were encouraged to shine their lights in the workplace. How can you and how can I make sure that our brothers and sisters, whether in North Korea, whether in Afghanistan, whether they're in parts of China, whether they're in Central Asia, how can we make sure that they know they're not alone? That's what we need to do, right? Paul says, we knew we were not alone, and he says it from the Lord's perspective. What does Emmanuel mean? Christmas time is almost around the corner, isn't it, right? Hallmark's already showing the Christmas movies. Walmart's already got the Christmas stuff in the whole aisle, right? Yeah. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Paul said, we're persecuted. It hurts. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to pretend like it's easy. It hurts, but we are not alone. We are not abandoned. Because God is with us. Persecution is hard. Again, can you imagine being beat down at every turn, always knowing in your heart you're only trying to do right and to speak truth and to love and to stand up for injustice, but constantly being pushed back down, silenced, or demeaned? Again, Paul says, we are not destroyed. They could not be destroyed because God would not let them. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is so good. Do you understand what's being said there? You are invincible in the Lord's purpose. Hold on to that for a second. You are Superman in the Lord's purpose. What the Lord wants your life to accomplish as you submit and surrender that to Him, it will be accomplished and nothing will thwart it. Why? Because it's for God's glory and it's through His power. And nobody can stop it. Let that be encouraging to you today. You get struck down a few times and you're like, they're going to end me. And maybe today, even sometimes as a church, we wonder, are they going to end things, right? We have, you guys seen all the same stuff. Well, they're taking the prayer out of schools and they're doing this to Christians in these places. And the bottom line is, if the Lord is in it, it is not going to be destroyed. People have tried to take down God's word for 2,000 years. Or probably longer than that, if you want to talk to the Old Testament. They've been trying to burn the Bibles and get rid of God's word for a long time. Guess what is the number one bestseller every year? It will not be destroyed. Do you hear what I'm saying today? And that's what Paul was saying. Go ahead. You give me your best shot. You can persecute me. You can strike me. You can push me out. But here's the thing. If God's word's going out, you're not going to take it down. Because the next person is going to rise up and God's going to be glorified. Amen? Man, that is good. How about people today that you're thinking about, again, those persecuted brothers and sisters who are in streets and they're in maybe even outside of temples. They're maybe even in rich cities or they're in the suburbs of those cities or overcrowded where great poverty is. They're on the island of Haiti or Dominican Republic where some places are just really, really poor. The same truth holds. Keep doing what you're doing in the Lord. That work will matter. It will not be destroyed. Man, that's good, guys. Because sometimes we hurt so bad, and we wonder, is what I'm doing even really making a difference? And as it is, the Lord's purpose is not destroyed. That is a great, encouraging thing today. Let me read this to you. During China's Boxer Rebellion of 1900, insurgents captured a mission station and they blocked all the gates but one. And in front of one of the gate, they placed a cross and they placed it flat on the ground. And then the word was passed to those inside that any who trampled the cross underfoot would be permitted their freedom and their life. But any that refused would be shot. Everybody got that picture? We're going to lay down a cross, lay it out flat. And as you head out, if you will trample under that cross and say, I'm going to trample under that and it deny my faith and go back to what the culture says is right, we're going to let you be free. But if you do not do that, we're going to take your life. Well, so terribly frightened, the first seven students, they trampled the cross under their feet, and they were allowed to go free. But the eighth student was a young girl, and she refused to commit the sacrilegious act. Kneeling beside the cross in prayer for strength, she arose and moved carefully around the cross, and she went out to face the firing squad. And strengthened by her example, every one of the remaining 92 students followed her. I love our young people here in our church. And sometimes they point the way, don't they? They stand up when we're cowards, and they remind us, all right, that's right. This little girl said, no, I'm not going to do that because I know my God is bigger and I'm going to trust him in the situation. And then once she did that, what happened? The next boy and the next girl, the next person that came along, she's right. I know that and I'm not going to do that. Wow, right? Today, people, there are people that we love that know the same Jesus that we know and serve the same God that we serve and are going to be part of the same glorious kingdom that will come. But they need some encouragement because they're in spots that we're not. And we need to pray for them. And we need to find ways to connect to them and send them little gifts and send them love. We need some people who are going to be policymakers. Right now, this is what Brooklyn is praying about. Is she going to go, maybe even go into law where she can help write policy that will help those who are downtrodden, who are outcast? We need some young people to step up into that. And they're going to go and they're going to be part of trying to make changes to do that. But ultimately, it's going to be for God to act as he sees fit, right? How about you today? What is your role in loving and supporting those who are being persecuted? So Paul says, we carry Jesus' death in our body. And this is not the most encouraging word sometimes, is it? We carry around the marks of Jesus in our body. And Paul literally had them, right? Paul could say right here, see, I have a scar right here. Remember, Jesus was beaten 39 times too, right? Yeah, with a cat of nine tails, what Jesus was beaten with, okay? Paul says, I got those scars too. And something that I heard from Jared Wilson this week I thought was pretty good. We can learn from Jesus' death. What did Jesus do in his death? What was the first thing he did? My God, why have you what? Why are you forsaken for me? You guys, I told you this last week. We read Psalm 13, right? It's okay to cry out to God about your pain and to be honest before him. David did it. Jesus did it. What? I hope that, like, today you can tell I'm pumped up and excited to be here today. But today, if you had a really rough week, you don't need to come up and put up on a fake smile. You need to come in here and be yourself, and you need to go before God. And maybe today is your day where you say, God, where are you at? Jesus did that. We always carry about the death of Jesus in our body. There's one thing, right? What else did Jesus do when he's on the cross? Father, forgive them. Paul says, we carry around the death of Jesus in our body. So, yeah, you threw stones at me. Yeah, you put some stripes on my back. Yeah, you cussed me out. And yes, you kicked me out of town. Lord, forgive that guy right there for what he did and then rescue him and redeem him. That is supernatural power, isn't it? I'd be like, let me have a piece of that guy. Give me that whip and we're going to return the favor here, right? Not what Paul said. Paul says, we carry around the death of Jesus. And then finally, what did Jesus do? This is so good. In his death. Father, into your hands I what? Commit my spirit. It's all for you, Lord. It's all for you. Paul says, in our persecution, we carry around the death of Jesus. And that means everything that we give him, whether today's the day I die or whether it's another 40 or 50 years, it's all to God. It's for him, through him, to him, his glory and my joy. And so I commit it to you. Isn't that pretty good? And as you think about carrying the death of Jesus, even in your life, those are the things that you think about. Think about how Jesus even dealt with his own death. Paul was willing to die that his life would be revealed even in the mortality. Death is working through us, Paul says, but life in you. And that's what happens. When that jar of clay gets broken up, that light shines out and other people see. Don't waste your suffering. Because when you suffer, then that's when your light shines the brightest, okay? All right, let's finish up here. Look down, if you would, in verse 13. It is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that grace is reaching more and more people and may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul and his fellow laborers, to the people who will be changed, who will then reach other people who will be changed, so that thanksgiving would overflow to God's glory. This is the pattern. This is how things work. You guys see that up there? Okay. So even here today, someone reached out to Brother Todd with the gospel. Brother Todd received the gospel. His life was changed. Brother Todd now is in turn sharing his love for the Lord, and he's reaching someone. And I would not dare say that in the very near future, there will be someone someday who will say, it was Brother Todd who was encouraging to me, and that's why I carried on. And that's why God is receiving thanks. Today I want to challenge you, who are you passing your faith along to? And again, think about our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, to remind them, to encourage them that it doesn't stop here, that the work that you're doing has a lasting effect. Then if you would go on down to verse 16, the scripture says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is crazy talk. Again, what had Paul been through and his brothers been through? They've been beaten. They've been left for dead. 39 stripes, they've been shipwrecked, they have all the care of the churches. All of this stuff is on them, and he says, for our light and momentary affliction. Anybody you want to go and say that being beat 39 times, three times, is just a little light and momentary affliction? How could he say that? He says, in comparison to what is in store, this is a paper cut. Isn't that crazy? In comparison to what is out there, it is like, this is nothing. I can deal with this. And what we have to do is we have to fix our eyes to see things the same way that Paul would see them. Let's close with this scripture this morning. And again, Paul says, you're being renewed. We are being renewed day by day. And so I want to encourage you with this today. In the middle of his suffering, the author of Lamentations, he writes this. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And how does it end? Great is thy faithfulness. Okay. All right, this morning, you guys, I'm going to go and play at the piano just a little bit. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you go ahead and stand at this time. What I'd like for you to do today, if you're in a difficult spot and you need to spend some time going to the Lord and say, Lord, would you renew my courage? Would you renew my strength? I would encourage you to do that. But even more than that, even today, if you would, I would like you to take this time today and think about your brothers and sisters who are in those different places we mentioned. Maybe it's in Vietnam or Laos, or maybe it's in Kenya or Ethiopia. I've been reading about them this week. Or maybe it's in Somalia. You know there's these places that you've been having on your paper where brothers and sisters who love Jesus are being persecuted for their faith. Would you take a little time this morning and pray for them that even though they're perplexed, that they can be held, even though they've persecuted, they'll know they're not abandoned. Just again this morning, as we do that, would you pray? Thank you. guys, thank you so much for your patience this morning, and I pray that you'll let the word of the Lord from this passage encourage you all week to pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters, all right? I'm going to ask Brother Todd, if he would, to come and give us our announcements and then dismiss us in prayer today, please.
Before the sermon, we're going to be having a cleaning night, I think, next Monday, right? So the day before the election, just probably to tidy some things up. Travis mentioned some other days. I think next Sunday we may do a few things, and even on this Wednesday, do some preparation work. But if you're available Monday night at around 6:30 to come by and help just make sure everything is tidy and in preparation for the election, we would appreciate that. And to also to reiterate that on November the 9th, so that is a Wednesday night, we will be streaming the movie Insanity of God. So if you're available, please come by for that as well. And again, the men's breakfast is coming up November 12th. So any men that are available that morning to come, these have always been a really great and encouraging time to get together. I think you'd really enjoy it, and if you have friends or neighbors that you think would want to show up and just, be loved on, just bring them or let them know that we'll be meeting at, the Metro Diner. The address is 7225 US 31 South, so you can Google it if you need to, but I hear that it's a pretty good place. I think it's a fairly new restaurant, I understand, so we're going to try that out. We tried several different places, so we like to move around a bit. Also, the Christmas project we're doing this year, as Brother Travis mentioned, is going to be packages for the soldiers. There's information for those, I think, on the service board. So to my left or your right, as you go out the door, to be to your left, there's a table there, and we'll have information there. We're going to be collecting items. I think the cutoff on that is going to be November 20th. So if you have items that you would like to donate, please bring those. And also, I think, as was mentioned, we're looking into ways that we could donate financially through different avenues, whether it's here at the church or through some web-based tool. So we'll keep you updated on that. So this Wednesday night, again, we have service here every Wednesday, starting at 6:30. We have a meal, and then at 7, Bible study. This Wednesday looks like it's going to be spaghetti, salad, and garlic bread. So if you're available for that, we would appreciate if you come by, and I think there may be some things that we do in preparation for the election on Wednesday night. So anybody have anything else before we finish up? No, the cleaning day will be, it is Tuesday, November 1st, never mind. Okay, yeah, for some reason I was thinking it was the Monday before the election, but I'm sorry for that correction. It'll be Tuesday, so that is this coming Tuesday, November 1st at 6:30, we'll be cleaning. So, but if you show up next Monday, that's fine too. You can come on in and clean. Yeah. All right, anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we dismiss, please. Father, I just thank you for allowing us to come into your house this morning, Lord. I just thank you for those that have made it a priority this morning to come into your house, Lord, sending people here to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I continue to pray for those people in the surrounding communities, God, those that are searching for those things to fill that void in their life, void in their heart, God, that they're not filling with you right now, Lord. I pray that you just put in their hearts a desire to want to hear about Jesus, God. And if you send them our way, let us welcome them and help guide them to that wonderful life through Jesus, God. And Lord, and I pray that if there's anyone here in this house, God, that hasn't accepted Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that you deal with them, Lord. And God, if they want to talk to somebody here at this church, Lord, they just approach them and talk about the good news, Lord, and help lead them to that life. Lord, I pray you go with us in the days and the weeks to come, Lord. Let us prepare for the things that are going to occur here at this church, Lord. I just pray that your will be done, God, and not our will, Lord, that you just put in us that desire to want to do your will, God. I pray that through us, through you working with us, Lord, that people will come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, and I pray these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.